Hello, hello. Hello a million times and welcome back to episode 5 of Brits in the End Zone. We are a UK-based NFL podcast. We are JP.
Hello.
Charles.
Heidi, hi.
Greeny.
Hello, people.
And me, Adley. We all support various different teams in the NFL. So what is coming up in today's show? We have a fun show in store, I've been told to say. I'm joking. It is fun. We'll be keeping you up to date on all the top NFL headlines, as always. Greeny will be taking us through his top three. We'll be taking a look at some epic kicker fails, some more in-depth fantasy chat, and we'll be doing a live draft order towards the end of the show. So that's quite exciting. That'll be our personal league. You'll all get to enjoy the happiness and sadness of people as to where they fall in the draft. But before we start, I kind of want to address something which has been quite important in our league. It's the commissioner fiasco. Let's get this out of the way. To give a bit of context, the commissioners sometimes change. Greeny once was held that position.
I had a good spell for about 4 or 5 years. I thought I'd pass it on to
4 or 5 years.
It was how long?
It was
how
about.
Long have you guys been playing?
I think it was about a year.
I'm an experienced veteran of this league.
Greeny sadly passed it on to. Was it your brother? Or was it straight
me.
To Charles? It was straight to Charlesy, who, to be fair to him, actually had a pretty good run. It was fairly scandal free after some awkwardness while Greeny was at the top. But sadly, we had a vote and Charles has lost out and it's now moved over to another co-host, JP, which in a way is a nice full circle. It's every guest here is
Adley,
apart from me.
You're up next year.
Yeah. I'll be next. So, but I am told that Charles is still involved. Do you want to talk me through, Charles, what your involvement is?
Just helping out with the admin.
Charles is my PA.
Essentially, that's what I've become.
So you're Gareth to
I'm
JP's Brent.
I'm assistant to the regional commissioner.
Brilliant, okay. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to get that out of the way. We thought we'd start the podcast this week by taking one of your questions. So at the end of the podcast, we always finish up with a load of your questions from Twitter, which is our favourite bit. So we thought we'd pick the best one and start with that. So
Sounds good. First
question is from 10 at 10. And his name is 10. That really is unfortunate. But his Twitter handle is at 10 underscore life. Perhaps he's a cat. Is it cat? Is that nine?
Nine.
That'd be nine underscore live. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's not get caught up on that. Which player would
you... Please don't unfollow us, Ten.
No, we're giving him a good shout out here. Which player would you most like to swap places with? So, Greeny, I'm going to kick this one over to you first. What are you thinking?
Right. I'm going to pick Larry Fitzgerald. Only because it'd be nice to be 6'3" for once. No, so he has caught over 14,000 career yards and over 100 touchdowns.
Caught 14,000 yards.
He's earned.
It's not an STD.
And he's known for being one of the best catchers, not of STDs, in the league in the post Randy Moss era. However, outside of in the off season, it's where it becomes really interesting. So this legend actually owns his own travel agency and sets up quite unique holidays where he's gone gorilla trucking in Rwanda. Wow. Penguin viewing in Antarctica and discussing espionage with a former KGB agent in Russia.
This is why you picked him. Don't yeah. try and make it up as if it's to do with 14,000 yards
or
anything.
The fact that he's played in the NFL is pretty much irrelevant to your point.
It's so irrelevant. that's amazing.
That is cool.
Where
if
did
I
you
just
get this
earned
from?
30 million, these are the kind of activities I want to be doing in my spare time.
Is this true? Is this public
true.
Knowledge?
Yeah, he's
this
been to
one
around 100 countries.
Man of the Year, 1 year.
He won what? Man of the Year?
They have the NFL Man of the Year where someone who does good things gets
an award. Not in terms of your looks or your sexual
No,
prowess.
As in their contribution to society.
He's a big philanthropist and I assume he's going to pass on the mantle of Man of the Year to me next year.
It's almost definite. Okay, Charlesy, who are you saying?
I'll keep this short and sweet. Two words. Player Brady, reason Giselle. Next.
Four words, if anything. But okay, understandable. JP?
Oh, you're done.
That's the least Charles has ever said.
I think we're all in a bit of shock here. As soon as he said, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. This is a new Charles, a new non-commissioner Charles.
Wait till the news.
Weight has been lifted.
I just saw his eyes roll back when he said Giselle, so it had to naturally pass on.
Oh, this is getting out of
That's
hand.
That's filthy.
JP?
I've gone for Justin Tucker. We're going to be talking about kickers a bit later on, but this guy, I mean, we spoke about his many talents in episode one, but this guy kicks the ball a few times for a living and last year earned $8 million.
It's not bad, is it, really?
Not too bad.
It's not bad. And you're not going to get hurt. You're on the pitch a few times.
And you can be the hero.
Yeah, and he won me a lot of fantasy weeks last year. Legend. Right,
and it's
that's
really,
not why I want to
really,
be
if anything, if you're Justin Tucker and you're
that's
earning
all
millions,
he cares about.
There's Charles in his house in Kentish Town. That's Kentish Town.
I mean, you've gone from near Archway to Kentish Town.
I'm going to get more specific as the season rolls on.
Right, cheers.
Okay, I'm going to personally pick Aaron Rodgers because he is a Super Bowl champion. He was a Super Bowl MVP. He throws Hail Marys. He's very good. And I'd also quite like to know what it'd be like to break up with a woman like Olivia Munn. I keep mentioning her because she is fantastic. Mm. Yeah, it's all a bit too men heavy on this podcast.
I feel like
it?
I've outdone you because I've won the Super Bowl 5 times and going out with Giselle. So
I don't think you are. But
yeah. Well, I'm Tom Brady in this scenario. So
you have outdone me. Well done.
There we go.
Okay. So let's go on to current news in and around the NFL. Charles, let's carry on with keeping it short and sweet.
Absolutely
no chance.
Are you
prepared? Are you right.
Thoroughly prepared.
You're panicking.
Starting off with the movements in and around the NFL, we've got two relatively large player movements recently. There's Jeremy Maclin, who got cut from the Kansas City Chiefs, has found a new home in Baltimore with the Ravens. That has kind of quite a large impact on, you know, they lost a lot of targets in their receiving corps, and I think he's found a very good home for him, and he'll be good to. He could even have. You know,
he could be a good player.
He could be a very good, very good player.
Because maybe you should just reference the last podcast where I said this is exactly what would happen.
Yeah, Greeny, you called it spot on. To be fair to you,
it's the first time you said that, Charles. How did you know that, Greeny?
A bit like JB, just, you know.
You found out on Twitter beforehand. You were getting the intel.
But I think even though, because last year he kind of went off the radar a bit, but before that he'd had 2,000-yard seasons in a row and getting 8 and 10 touchdowns. So he's a very good player.
Why was he dropped then?
He had a bit of an injury risk last year, and he had a big contract, and they didn't have much money, and they needed to invest in other players.
He was paid as an elite wide receiver, and he got 2 touchdowns last year, albeit playing with a torn groin all season. So
they don't really
throw
the ball.
That's not good enough.
They don't really throw the ball there, so they don't really need him.
Charles, tell me, is he going to have much of a fantasy impact?
I do think so. I think whoever I was already a fan of maybe Perryman or Wallace filling in the gaps for the targets that have been, you know, that have left the team, but now he'll come in as being the main guy, and I think he could be a sleeper for the wide receiver position. I'm going to keep an eye on him in the draft.
Yeah, I've seen him going as late as round 8, 9. So I think he's a really good pick at that point. Yeah.
Have you been mock drafting, Greeny?
I've seen him going later than that.
Where are we seeing this? In the mock drafts.
In the mock drafts, I think that's Jeremy Maclin. Another movement that's occurred.
It sounds a bit like you're talking about your bowel movements, but keep going.
That's my other podcast.
You'll never top that.
Eric Decker, he has moved from the New York Jets to the Tennessee Titans. And I thought it was quite a nice reason why he picked that team is that his wife is a country western singer and they wanted to be near Nashville.
Who's he with?
James. Yeah. I think her name is Jesse James.
Isn't he the tight end for the
Steelers? Yeah, that is the tight end.
He's also a porn star.
But also apparently she's a country western singer.
Okay.
So they wanted to move to Nashville, so that's quite cool.
We've actually got a man on the ground in Tennessee. One of my friends lives there.
Okay.
Wow. So I text him being like, exciting year for the Titans. And yeah, he was like, if Mariota and Decker stay healthy, he's expecting an easy win of that division.
That won't happen because the Jags are in it. So don't worry about it. But
you can tell your man on the ground that.
But no, I was going to say, this move really helps Mariota fantasy-wise, because, you know, last year he did really well and he had essentially no wide receivers. He had Rishard Matthews and that was it, and Delanie Walker was the next, you know, the main guy. Now they've drafted Corey Davis in the first round of the NFL draft and got Eric Decker. In fact, Eric Decker is kind of one of those players that is very underrated. In fact, only four players since 2012 has scored more touchdowns in the NFL than Eric Decker.
Right.
And I was wondering if you could name the other four players who've got more touchdowns in the last 5 years.
Julio Jones.
No.
Antonio Brown.
Correct. That is one of them.
Odell Beckham.
You're actually ticking these off.
No? Well, he's only been around a few years.
Brandon Marshall?
Correct.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Brandon Marshall. No, not Larry Fitzgerald.
I think we're going to struggle here.
Fair enough. Well, the other two, the number one is Dez Bryant.
We should have got that.
And the other one is Demaryius Thomas.
Of course, yeah.
But you know, those are all elite wide receivers, and Eric Decker is next in the next.
Wasn't
the
that
list.
A bit of fun? I enjoyed that.
Treading on Charlie's toes, though.
Out of nowhere. It was a bit, but you know.
But no, there we go. That is Eric Decker. I thought I'd go back and for the next bit of news, very short again. But last podcast, I mentioned the awakening, Christine Michael joining the Colts for his sixth, you know, beginning an exciting start. Since then, he's injured, gone on the IR, and probably won't ever play for them. So that's good. The awakening has gone back to sleep. Next bit of news. Now we're going to the fun news, as I like to do. Adrian Peterson, newly moved to the Saints, has bought his fullback a pair of exclusive Kanye West trainers. And it kind of seems like a bit of a bribe to say, you know what, make sure I don't get hurt, because your job's essentially to block for Adrian Peterson. So get him in early and say, you know.
I read about this. Yeah. These Yeezy trainers, I'm sure you know about them, Adley.
I do, yeah.
Apparently they're pretty hard to get your hands on. So Peterson decided, instead of trying to get them for the offensive line, he'd just get them for his fullback.
I don't really like the Yeezy. Sorry, just, I mean, I like Kanye's music. I don't really like the trainers. Anyway.
I was just hearing that news and thinking, like, a lot of the players buy each other, like, deluxe holidays, they buy cars, and suddenly we're talking about trainers. Times are tough.
I just thought it was quite a nice idea to, you know, to bribe your, not bribe, but, you know,
because the fullback's blocking like the offensive lineman to,
yeah,
let Peterson run through.
Yeah, we mentioned them in the first or second episode.
Yeah. You pick Charles as a fullback.
Yeah.
But so I thought they didn't know what I do.
Well, they do a bit of running themselves. If anything, he's going to be taking maybe the odd touchdown.
Charles does the running for no one.
I know. I played football with him the other week.
They do a lot of blocking.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. And that really was fun.
The last bit of fun news is a man called Ryan Holton Murphy, who is a lifelong Green Bay Packers fan, has, you know, he's got a Green Bay suit. I mean, he's over the top mad about his team. Just got married, and he decided to keep his wife's maiden name and change his name to hers because her surname is Packer. And he said he couldn't believe his luck when he first met her. And I thought that's quite a nice sort of thing. And I wondered if you would ever change your name for anything like that in a similar scenario.
Did you consider it, Adley?
I did get recently married. No, I didn't consider changing my name.
What if her surname was Barnett?
Well, I don't think so, because Barnett, my team, don't even play in Barnett anymore. So it's a complete waste of time. I could call them Cannons Park or something. So no, I probably wouldn't
change
Dragon?
My name.
Dragon.
I don't know. That sounds quite cool.
We're just going to say random things now.
What about Rhino?
Congratulations to that man. I hope he's listening. It sounds a bit like he's only with her for a name, but, you know, better reason than most. Are you done, Charles?
I'm done.
That was good. I enjoyed that. Dance top three. I feel like that should be a massive jingle soundbite. We need to sort
coming
that out.
Coming soon.
Yeah. In my head, there's a jingle. Just like every time I enter a room, there's a jingle.
So that's just the sound of everyone else leaving.
Depressing.
All right, so we're going to be spending a lot of time this off-season getting very hyped about about certain players, how they're going to have epic seasons. So only for them to have too much time between the OTAs and the training camps and do stupid stuff and get injured. So I'm going to be going through my favourite and unusual injuries in the off-season.
Favourite injuries.
Let's keep it to more unusual then. All right, so number three, we are nearly approaching the two-year anniversary of one of the weirdest incidences that which involved one of the best defensive players in the league currently, being Jason Pierre-Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Of the New York Giants. So for 4th of July celebrations, he holds a big fireworks event. And he spent about $1,500 on fireworks. And one of the last fireworks, it doesn't quite light, so he has to get closer to his van.
Sorry. $1,500 doesn't sound that impressive.
I was really expecting you to say $1,500,000, to be honest.
He sounds like a fucking cheapskate.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know how much fireworks cost, but...
He spent a lot of money on a firework.
I'm just being factual and reporting
fireworks. It is a lot, but if you're a defensive end in the NFL and you're about to say how much he spent on something, I want to hear the word million. Anyway, whatever.
$1,500,000 on fireworks.
Yeah, and?
And one of the final fireworks, he got too close and it ripped his hand off, tearing tendons in his hand, and he had to have his index finger amputated.
Probably should have spent a bit more on those dodgy fireworks. Got some proper ones.
Jesus Christ.
So this is... So he had to then miss the half of the next season, appearing back in week 9 wearing a club on his hand. And that off-season, he was offered a $60 million contract, which obviously the team said, I'm just going to backtrack on that, take it back. But he came back in week 9, had finished the season well. Next season, he played so well with his club on his hand that he rode the hot hand to 13 sacks.
Yeah.
Sorry, is it an advantage maybe to have a club on your hand? I don't know. Maybe it's like a boxer putting stuff in their gloves. I don't know.
But you can't grab people with it, or like, you know, you
can't imagine
lose.
Too many interceptions.
Yeah.
What position is he? Sorry,
he's defensive end. So he's the guy who's trying to get to the quarterback and strip the ball out.
Right.
And so I think on the first game back, he was trying to maul down Aaron Rodgers and ended up just like jabbing him in the shoulder.
Yeah. Sorry, but
dexterity probably helps there.
How embarrassing if you're the backup defensive end and they've set and you're rocking up to training going, oh great, this is my chance, and they're going, no, we're just going to pop a club on this guy's hand and we'll let him play. No, honestly, it's going to be a lot better if I just get on there and play. He's still going to be better with a club on his hand. I'd be right, I'm off.
Yeah. To be fair, somehow he is still one of the top players in his position. He's just an absolute animal. I don't know how he does it.
He's his kids are very bored at fireworks day from now on, but you know, as long as he's playing.
Bet him and Balotelli would get on like a house on fire.
I think so.
House on fire, hey.
Why, did that happen to him?
Well, do you not remember, like, before the Manchester derby, he, like, just basically set his house on fire?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. I like Balotelli. He's fucking great.
There's some good stories.
I feel like he's a bit of a Terrell Owens of football. Don't know why. But
I think for a future podcast, we'll get a full list of the funny instances Balotelli's done, and we can...
That's perfect for an NFL podcast.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure we'll bother, but you know.
I didn't draw the parallel there.
Number two.
In 2008, just after the season ended, Brandon Marshall, who is now the New York Giants, he was hosting a family for a jet ski holiday. And the night before, they had a few drinks, and in apparent horse playing, whilst leaving the house, he trips over a McDonald's bag and goes hand first into his entertainment system and through the TV. So, and I believe he severed a vein in his arm and also a nerve. So he was out for most of the off-season.
But at least he got 250 quid from You've Been Framed, so that worked. Exactly. That probably worked out.
I think
you've
used that joke on this podcast before, Charles.
Doesn't sound like me.
He would know. You've listened back enough.
But he ended up...
You just laugh at your own joke management.
I do that all the time. I always get pulled up for it, but anyway...
All right. Number one, tying in.
He's done it again.
No, now I'm laughing at your joke. Don't worry.
Right.
Tying into today's positional theme of kickers or punters, the Jacksonville Jaguars started the season 0-3, which is standard.
And that means they've won 0 and lost 3.
Correct.
No, the other way around.
No,
that is correct.
Right.
Yeah.
The way they do it in the US.
Don't doubt yourself, Adley. You do know some stuff.
Yeah. Correct. 1-0, lost 3. Got you.
Then boss Jack Del Rio. Wanted to pick up a bit of the morale in the changing room, so he introduced a ridiculous hyperbole of keep chopping wood. And in order to do that, in order to demonstrate that it was not meant to be taken literally, he brought an axe and a stump into the changing room.
That's always going
to
end well.
This is such a you thing to do, by the way, Greeny, just so you know that.
If I become a coach, I think I would do something like that. But so everyone had a go at hacking at the stump until it became the punter's go, Chris Hansen, and right on cue, he missed a stump and gashed right into his leg. Needing emergency surgery and ending his season completely.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. That's so embarrassing.
But this one
it's
guy...
embarrassing being a punter. Yeah. Anyway, but, you know.
So this guy is actually not a stranger to weird instances like that. So 2 years beforehand, he was hosting the then kicker for the Jags, Jarrett Holmes, and he had a fondue party. And right on cue... Again, the fondue falls over and burns them all, giving second and third degree burns.
Jesus Christ.
And I think his wife had to have skin graft after that. So.
Oh my God.
Sounds really clumsy for a man whose job it is to catch the ball and then use sort of hand-eye coordination to kick it correctly. But
maybe kick the fondue.
Yeah.
Got confused.
Maybe that's the problem. Okay.
So I'm just gonna jump in here and say it's actually...
You're not jumping in. It's your segment.
I'm kicking you out there
because I was about to finish it. But go on.
Yeah. No. It's just quite funny because there are a few instances that happened in football as well. I don't know if you remember the Kirk Broadfoot, ex-Rangers legend. He was cooking.
Nope.
He was cooking eggs and the poached egg exploded in his face, giving him burns.
I like the Ian Hendon of Barnet.
Why
do you have so many Barnet stories?
He was doing some cooking in the kitchen and dropped a plate and tried to control it on his foot and just gashed his foot open. Was out for about 3 months.
To be fair, though, we always do. Anyone does that, don't they? Really, when something falls out, you do kind of try.
But when it's like something that's quite sharp, I think it was a knife actually, rather than the spoon.
Well, that would be more ridiculous.
Why are you trying to kick a knife?
I didn't do it.
Don't question Hendon. He knows his way around the right back position.
Anyway, that was Dan's top three.
Cool. That was good. I enjoyed that. Charles, you're taking over as anchor. That's also enjoying that.
We're gonna because I've taken commissioner. Don't try and take something from Adley.
Exactly. You don't need other roles. So this is around half. I don't know if it's half time. We'll worry about that later. But I've got here half time snacks rather than tailgating because that's normally at the beginning. We thought we'd talk to you about our sponsor in the middle when you're most engaged. So a big shout out to Zing Zing, who are our sponsors, MSG Free Chinese. And if you want to get involved and get one of their lovely takeaways, you can use our promo code, which is ENDZZ20. Is that correct? I'm struggling to read that.
ENDZZ20.
It is, but the two Zs and the two together are all a bit confusing. Anyway, you get 20% off. They are based in Finsbury Park, Kentish Town, where Charles lives, and Kensal Rise, where Greeny used to live but doesn't now. So don't go there as a stalker because he won't be there. And thanks to all the listeners so far, for everyone who's rated and reviewed. I think we've had around like 52 rates and reviews, which is...
Around 52.
I say that. I was actually looking just before this.
Specifically 52.
But we've had about 5.5 million listens, so really the percentage of who's rating is pretty poor, but thanks to those who have.
Keep please spreading the word.
Maybe we have very modest listeners who don't have the iPhones. They have more of the HTCs and
can
Samsung.
You not review on those
on iTunes? It's, you can't. I don't think you can have iTunes.
It's very confusing.
I don't know,
whatever, just grab your nan's iPhone,
just tell everyone about it.
Yeah, and tweet us at Brits _ end zone.
These people don't know football. They just crazy.
Okay, let's move on to our position of the week. JP, over to you to talk us about kickers and punters.
Okay, guys, so we've spoken about quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. So now the one you've all been waiting for.
Oh, yes, give it to me.
Kickers and punters. We'll try and keep this pretty brief because they're not the most exciting of positions, but let's go. Kickers, I mean, they don't play that much, they're not on the field that often, but they play a pretty vital role for the team. Their job is just to kick the ball. It's okay. To convert field goals and conversions. A field goal, for example, you know, you could be it might be fourth down and you've got 18 yards to get to the end zone, and instead of risking it and going for a touchdown, they'll bring the kicker on for him to kick the ball from 18 yards out over the post for 3 points. A conversion is when a touchdown has actually been scored and the team decide to go for a pat, which is a point after touchdown. And those are sort of, they're always from 15 yards.
The bread and butter, you don't really miss that, do you?
Didn't they get moved back last season?
Yeah. I thought they got moved back to 15 yards.
Whatever it is, it's fairly easy. But I think it's got a little bit more difficult to try and encourage people to do.
Yeah, and a lot more got missed last season than
exactly
previously.
Exactly. So talking about kickers with fantasy, I mean, I'll let you guys like chime in, but you can't really go too wrong with kickers. You want to try and go with sort of the high-powered offences that get down the field.
You don't want the Browns.
That's interesting because I normally pick a kicker from a team that I think is a bit shit because I feel like they're going to not get as many touchdowns, they're going to do more field goals. So my guy I always go to is Dan Carpenter, and the reason is because, one, I don't think the Bills are like particularly the best, maybe they are, I don't know, but also he kicks it a long way. You want to pick someone who can kick it over 50 yards because then you get more points, right? In fantasy?
Yeah. I think there's a happy medium of finding a team that's very good but also not doesn't score it
not as efficient.
Doesn't score as many touchdowns as they necessarily
can
should.
Can get up the field, but poor red zone accuracy.
Yeah.
Like a few kicker stories that I just wanted to share.
We didn't really name that many kickers.
Justin Tucker's the best and only kicker you should be worrying about. There we go.
Justin Tucker, Gostkowski from the Patriots.
Vinatieri, is he still going?
He is. He's about 45.
Vinatieri and Bryant from the Falcons.
Yeah.
Dan Bailey from the Cowboys.
All good kickers. You can't go too wrong. Don't draft them any earlier than the second to last round.
The kicker should always be your last pick, really.
I don't know. I might take Justin Tucker in the fifth.
be my guess.
I don't know what to do now because Carpenter's a free agent.
The Bills now have Stefan Hauschka, don't they, from the Seahawks?
They do indeed.
So, like, just a few kicker stories to share with you guys. I mean, talking about the yardage from a kicker moving back, this actually had a big effect in the 2016 AFC Championship game between the Broncos and the Patriots. Gostkowski actually missed. This is one of the like more high profile ones, which had a big say on the game because they ended up losing to the Broncos, who then went on to win the Super Bowl. But before that miss, Gostkowski had made 523 straight conversions.
In a row. That's
Jesus,
ridiculous. That
is which is pretty amazing.
What a time to miss your
Are
first
we talking
one,
the yeah. point after...
Yeah, so conversion, yeah, the point after okay. touchdown.
The
523
ones.
In a row, which is
That's a
incredible.
Lot of touchdowns. I guess that's what Tom Brady does for you.
Exactly. And so... Another story, Chris Boswell, the kicker for the Steelers, who I should also mention, the kickers also start the games over.
Yeah, so, the kickoff.
Yeah, exactly, from kickoff. So the Steelers were down and needed to do an onside kick late on in the game. That's where you do a short kick that goes about 10 yards, that's
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it has to go a minimum of 10 yards, yeah.
So you want to try and do a bit of a trick play to, you know, try and get your team to catch the ball. So instead of a normal kick down the field, Boswell's done a Rabona, which is a little kick behind one leg to try and misdirect the opposing team. And he's just ended up kicking his own ankle and the ball moving about 1 yard. And that's game over.
What a plum.
Game over, Steelers are done.
I think he did it successfully in college and it was amazing. But then...
When it works, they look amazing. Yeah, when it doesn't,
so
you look like
the onside kicks rarely work. So just to be clear, the onside kick is when you try and win the ball back rather than kicking it to the other team.
Yeah,
you try
you
and do
the
it
ball
short.
Back.
The ball has to go at least 10 yards and then you have to be...
We've covered that now twice, Greg.
Have we said 10 yards?
Yeah, you were on your phone or something.
No, but it was successfully done in the 2009, I think, Super Bowl, the Colts against the Saints.
You could be saying anything, I wouldn't know, but
Colts
sounds
against
impressive.
The Saints, straight after halftime, they did an onside kick, recovered, that put all the momentum to get Drew Brees' first Super Bowl. And to put in perspective where the kicker is on the kind of 53-man roster, they are the outcast. They are just expected to go in there, kick the ball between the posts, and then go back. Don't interact with any of the squad.
Is that true? Really?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of just do their own thing because they're not part of any really other team. They just focus on doing that one thing. They don't have to do anything else.
So when everyone's doing reps with the like quarterback, wide receiver drills, they're just with the punter and the kicker, just catching and repeating the same kicking action all day.
The front of the bus.
I would just say there's one quite big story with Adam Vinatieri. I don't know if you were going to cover it, Japes.
No, I was hoping you were going to bring it up.
Oh. Don't worry, I've got you covered. Adam Vinatieri, who is, I think he's 41-year-old. He's a legend who plays for the Colts. He's won 2 Super Bowls for the Patriots with winning kicks. And in the mid-90s,
for the Patriots. No.
He
was at the Patriots.
Oh. Yeah, 2002, 2003, I believe. So in the mid-90s, when pre-Bill Belichick, when it was Bill Parcells who's a legend, there was an incident where, during a kickoff, one of Herschel Walker, who was a big Cowboys player, return the ball all the way, and you just see Vinatieri run out of nowhere, pace this guy down 40 yards and tackle him to the ground. And Bill Parcells said to him, he's like, now you'll see, you'll have the respect of the changing room. No one will look at you like this outcast anymore. And I think that kind of said
goosebumps.
That was his change of his career.
That's not the story I thought you were going to say, but that's a
I don't think
one.
We have time for the other one. But
no, I just wanted to really quickly go over punters.
We should.
Punters, similar to kickers, but rather than for points, they're kicking the ball down the field to basically get it as far away from their own end zone as possible. So, for example, if the ball is in your own half and it's fourth down and you need to make up 5 yards, rather than risk not making the 5 yards, the punter is just going to kick the ball as far away as he can down the field. But one really cool special teams play, it's been done by a few teams, but specifically the Rams were playing against the Seahawks. And the Seahawks are known for their great special teams plays, but this was actually one for the Rams. So the Seahawks have punted the ball away and the Rams have all gone in one direction of where the ball is going to go, but not realising that they've actually gone in the wrong direction, and one Rams player is left there to catch the ball and return the ball about 80 yards for a touchdown. Yeah.
Because all the Rams defence, so the guys who are going to be blocking the returner, went to that the wrong side on purpose to throw them.
They faked that's where the ball was landing, so
that's
all
brilliant.
The defenders went to go, exactly. All right, so let's all go block all of them.
Exactly. All the Seahawks defenders went on one side of the field, but the ball was on the other. It's amazing. We'll tweet brilliant. It out after. Yeah. It's a really cool
play. It's a bit like Teddy Brody in Hangtime, pretend to be a dog and bark, so the other one could just do an alley-oop and win the championship.
Oh, that's good.
Really, for anyone who doesn't know you, chances are they've now unsubscribed. But we know you, so we'll just move on because that's incredibly normal.
Oh dear.
But the punter's got to kind of get the ball into a certain area, and they're getting paid money to do that. It's mental.
It is crazy.
Can I ask a quick question about kickers and punters? Over here, obviously, equivalent of NFL in a tiny sense is rugby union. Do you reckon that people that like Johnny Wilkinson's always talk about, why don't the kickers over here go over there and become kickers? There was definitely chat about him doing it. Do you reckon they'd be able to do it? And it's a similar but bit different skill.
100%.
Yeah, you think
they could?
Yeah.
Of course they could.
And they wouldn't wear any padding. They're just
kicking.
They could do the kicking, but the punting in rugby, you're incentivized to kick it out of the field.
Yeah.
But in punting, you have to kind of get it within the 10-yard of the opposition.
But I'm sure if you said to a professional rugby player, instead of that side of the line, if you could just pop it this side of the line, that'd be great. They'd probably be like, yeah, no worries, I'll do that. Thanks.
It's a different size ball. Can a table tennis player win a tennis championship?
Don't compare those.
Right, okay. Moving swiftly onwards to fantasy chat. Charles, we're about to do a live draft, so I don't know what you're going to be doing before that, but yeah, sorry, a live drive or draw a lot, it doesn't matter. Charles.
So you would have actually hosted this being the chat commissioner, but...
Oh, that's a dig, isn't it? That is a dig.
Anyway, well, a very brief summary of what fantasy is. Basically, it's everyone gets players in their, their fantasy roster. Everyone gets different players because there's a draft, so you pick from a pool of players.
In case you didn't see that, Charles is doing incredibly dramatic kind
air,
of
quotes.
Air quotes there.
Yeah, I've got to feel it. And players get points for the what they do in the game. So for a running back, the number of yards they run, they get points. For a wide receiver, the number of their yards they catch the ball and then run, they get points. Quarterback throwing it, get points.
And points equal prizes.
Exactly. And then,
including touchdowns.
And each week, a team plays against another team, and the winner of that gets a win.
When you say a team, it'd be like me versus you. Whoever gets more points
that
wins.
That week gets a win, yes. Yeah. So it's on a head to head.
Yeah, so like the draft order that we're going to do is our league. We're in a 10-man league, and. We're gonna
choose who gets first pick, who gets second pick, and then it kind of snakes, doesn't it?
So if I'm
first and Charles is last, I get mine. It all goes all the way down to Charles. He then gets two on the way back up. It goes up to me.
Okay. Yeah. So that's not how the actual
quick
NFL
question.
Draft
What's
works,
the
though?
Best position to be on a draft order? Is it one or is it like three or four?
It really depends on the year and the players.
Shut up! Just give me an answer. It doesn't depend on any of that.
He literally
can't give an answer. Really, he's so confused.
I would say this year. Between the first three picks.
Why is it different?
There's three elite running backs. So
you've got
David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Zeke Elliott, who are going to be your first three picks.
Yeah.
They're your best running backs.
Well, I've got Kelce at one. Okay.
Ideally you want one of them.
Ideally, but there isn't necessarily a best position.
Yeah.
There's going to be advantages and disadvantages wherever you are.
Yeah, because the advantage of picking in those top three is that you then get one of those top guys. But then if you pick later, you then get your second best player quicker, so you can get two good players as opposed to one elite player and one not so good player. That's the sort of logic behind it.
Okay. So we've got down here to explain what a commissioner is. I feel like I should probably do that because I'm the only one who hasn't been one. A commissioner of a league is someone who, I don't know why I've chosen to do that, I'm really regretting it. But essentially, you're the one who gets everyone like me moaning at you. But no, you kind of deal with all the admin, you make any decisions, you set all the terms, you deal with any like there's all stuff about trading and when you can stop trading, like because some teams are out of it, should you not allow them to trade later on in the season, all that kind of stuff.
In the past, we've gone through many controversial trades. People have done trade offerings and sent pictures of them having lunch, doing a little deal in a cafe.
You're talking about
me. That was when you were commissioner and you let things go.
Dodgy dealings.
Yeah, it was.
You're talking about me, Greeny. And
I tidied up that.
Frankly, unfair.
The commissioner there is basically to make sure everything runs smoothly.
Yeah. In an ideal world, the commissioner should be doing next to nothing.
That's why you're no longer the commissioner.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Shall we do this? Should we get this done? I've got pieces of paper in front of me. This is probably exciting for 10 people, of which four are in this room, and then the six others in the league. But we're going to run through it really quickly. I'll give you one line on each team, and you guys can react with...
I think we'll then discuss what we think about our positions.
We'll have a quick run through after.
Okay, this is exciting.
So is this the number one overall pick?
This is the number one pick in the 2017
NFL draft.
What's the name of our league?
The Overmyo.
Okay, is everyone ready? I'm going to hold it up so everyone can see.
Which is Spanish for hand egg.
Oh, wow. Oh my. Number one is Charles in charge, which is a team of Christian.
Christian.
A team of Christians.
Charles got excited.
Christian, lives in America, I believe.
Lives in America. JP's friend. The Colts.
He seems to know a hell of a lot about NFL. He will be delighted, I'm sure, to be number one. Okay, here we go. Number two. Yeah, sorry, it's going really slowly. Number two is the Regal Robots. Greeny. Here we go.
That is Greeny. Greeny is delighted.
Greeny's
with that.
Got Le'Veon Bell.
that was a little fist pump.
I did a fist pump.
Let's get this going quick. Number three is Greeny's All Stars, which is Johnny Green, Darn Green's brother.
His older brother.
This is not working out well.
Happy 30th birthday coming up.
Oh, there we go. I'm actually annoyed I haven't called mine. I should have rigged this. I really should have rigged this.
And for Johnny.
Anyway, up next.
Happy birthday for last week.
Thank you.
And up next is someone in this room. It's Gotta Catch Jamal. That's Charlesy.
Oh, wow.
In at number four.
Number four.
How are you feeling, Charlesy?
Big position.
That's the worst position, I think.
No, it's solid.
Okay, and number five is Grazers, which is Ari.
Our Dutchman.
Our Dutch friend. In at number six is... the winners of this league is Father Bolton. That is run by myself and my friend Tom. The next number, what are we up to now?
Seven now
is Colt 45s, which
That's
is Zach. Coming up next, number eight, is the Chi-Town River Raptors,
Lee,
who lives in Chicago, lives in the holy NFL land. We have two positions left. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. So this is number nine.
Number nine is Bravehearts, which is Scott. Is he Scottish?
He is Scottish.
And coming in at the end is Valerian Steelers JP.
There we go.
Bringing us up the rear. There we go.
That was dramatic.
That really was.
Immediate reaction?
Thrilling.
Greeny, is absolutely over the moon. I mean... I've never seen him look so happy.
Sorry, what position am I? That's the only one I care about.
You were six.
Name me the six best running backs. Who is the
sixth
best running back?
You'll probably end up with one of the top wide receivers.
Julio or OBJ.
Let's just go round the room and talk about...
Yeah.
Talk about what?
Okay, Greeny, tell us. second pick.
Come to me.
Second pick, who you're taking?
Yeah.
We're going to assume David Johnson goes first.
So you're taking Bell.
Okay, so it's in my view, there is elite running backs. You've got Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson.
Yeah. So you'll take one of them.
If one goes, I get the other.
Exactly.
I'm very happy.
Charles, okay. I mean, we're going to assume that Zeke goes third.
So I'd probably be left with Antonio Brown, but I might.
That's a shame.
I mean, well, I got him last year, and he won me the league last year, so that could be good.
Had to get that didn't it?
I don't think Zeke Elliott is going to go that high. I just don't buy into the hype.
Who's number three?
Well.
Yeah, will you take him?
He loves Antonio Brown.
Oh God, I'm in
you
trouble.
You might take Zeke.
Yeah. Oh wow, that could. Well, okay,
anyway,
we'll see what happens.
JP, who do you think you're going to get left with down there?
At number 10. I mean,
there's a whole host of players.
You could almost definitely get Justin Tucker. There might be sort of a Mike Evans,
T.Y. Dalton.
Mike Evans will fall that far.
DeMarco Murray, maybe
DeMarco
Melvin
Murray,
Gordon.
Jordan Howard.
I haven't heard of any of these people.
There will be some more. And I, at the number 10, get two picks. So
that's quite good.
Being at the end of the draft. But then
it's, I have to it's wait good, a
yeah,
long time.
You have to then wait 18 picks in between.
Well, let's not stay on it too long because, as I said, isn't any interesting.
Yeah, but I think
Greeny, you wanted to say a little more.
Well, I was going to say the strategy for the first or second round picks is most likely if it's your first go wide receivers or running backs. So you'll see them stacked
for your first two rounds.
Unless you want to take
someone like Gronk, maybe.
I think you can wait till the third at least.
No, I think second, late second.
I think by the time we get to August, Gronk's going earlier.
Yeah, okay. And Aaron Rodgers might go at the end of the second as well.
I might stick to my guns and take Kelsey first round.
Happy days.
You never know. Okay, cool. I think we've covered everything we wanted. We wanted to talk a bit about the Listeners League. JP, give us a quick rundown on what's going on with that.
There's been a load of interest in the Listeners League, but we want to try and start to formalise it a bit now. So...
That is a long list of names.
Just a list of players.
Yeah, I thought I'd bring that with for our fantasy chat, and then I forgot I had it.
Maybe just to clarify, the league we just did the draft order for is not the Listener League.
No, that's our personal friends league, and then we're going to have our other friends, our Bites friends.
We just wanted to validate the draft order and give you some insight about who is going to be picked at those positions, which we did exceedingly well.
Greeny, you're not in the House of Commons. You don't have to...
So to formalise our Listeners League a bit, what we're going to do is to confirm your entry, you're going to have to do a little something for us. So when we...
Sounds sinister.
You scratch my back, I scratch yours.
When we tweet out this week's episode, we're going to ask you to retweet it for us. So a retweet is your entry to our league. And so depending on the amount of interest we get, we're either going to do sort of one or two leagues, either a 10-man league or a 12-man. We'll see how much interest there is. Get your friends involved.
If it's one league, we're all going to form a team. If it's two leagues, we'll split into twos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
What if our most ardent supporters are on holiday?
It's tough, but I guess nowadays there's this fantastic thing called roaming, and you can access Twitter via other countries outside of the UK.
50 quid buying, it sounds like, just to use your
No, so yeah, if you're interested, give our latest episode a retweet and we will get in touch with you via a direct message.
What happens if we get three retweets?
It's going to be a lonely league.
Seven-man league.
We each get three.
Okay, cool. Well, talking of tweeting and tweeting us, let's end the show with the rest of your tweets. We obviously had our favourite one at the beginning, which we answered, and now we're going to go through the rest. What a fantastic segue that was by me. It was just really natural.
Is this someone told you to do that?
Well, it was, but it wasn't. So, okay, so the first person, his name is JF Fantasy Sports. I don't think that's their real name, but that's their Twitter name. At JF Fantasy Sports.
Maybe you married someone with the last name Sports.
Maybe. The question is, which likely starting running back are you the least convinced by? JP, what do you reckon?
Fantasy-wise, which I assume he's referring to, but if not, that's what you're getting. Lamar Miller for me. I was really high on him last year, but he disappointed. He seems to always be carrying these niggly little injuries, and although he'd get the volume, the opportunity, I'm a bit worried that their big draft pick, Donta Foreman, he's going to vulture those goal line carries and steal those touchdowns from Miller. So his fantasy ceiling, per se,
who's that? Who's taken
capped
him from Miller?
Donta Foreman. Okay. He was a running back they drafted.
Right, okay.
And there's a lot of talk that he's going to get a lot of the goal line carries.
It sounds like you were saying Devontae Freeman with an egg in your mouth.
Yeah, it's Deontay Foreman.
Were you? Can you clarify?
I'd also say Rob Kelly from the Redskins and Spencer Ware from the Chiefs. I'd also put in that category.
That was JP's question, though. So.
Also yeah, at risk from draft
picks. Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite thought that they're going to be replaced within a few weeks, maybe a couple of months of the season anyway. Miller's one that will probably keep the starting job throughout the season, but might not do as well. I just also want to quickly say a running back that I'm actually quite high on, and it's not just because I'm a Browns fan, but I'm worryingly high on Crowell this year.
The Crow.
I mean, he's shown last year that even on a really bad team, he can still produce and get points. I think he was the 14th highest scoring running back last year.
I think he got 7 touchdowns, which is
The Browns.
Bad.
Browns are getting better this year. They've improved their defense, and with a great O-line, I think Crowell's got the opportunity
Watch
to have a big
space,
year.
Then.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's a good tip. Next question is from Ryan at Irish Eagles Fee. I think we've heard from this chap before, which I like. He's engaged. What is the toughest division heading into the season? So before I pass this on, I'm going to say that we will, over the next few weeks, break down each division and also who the most relevant fantasy players are in that division. So don't worry if you're not really sure what that means. But to answer your question and be efficient, I will pass you over to Dan Green.
NFC South. So in that division, you've got the last two NFC champions in the Panthers 2 years ago and the Falcons last year. The Panthers have strengthened with McCaffrey and also another running back, Samuel Curtis.
Samuel, slot receiver.
Wide receiver. So I expect them to improve. The Falcons may fall down a little bit, but they are still an elite team right now. You then have the New Orleans Saints, who have improved with Adrian Peterson, and they've improved their defense. And then you've got the off-season darlings, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have acquired DeSean Jackson.
O.J. Howard.
And O.J. Howard. So I think it's going to be a very competitive.
Fun division. Yeah,
who wins it, Greeny?
I will go with the Saints.
Wow.
Saints this year.
I mean, you can pretty much shut your eyes and point a random team and be just as have a goodest chance of guessing who wins that division.
So really have I succeeded with that answer?
Fantastic insight. I think Saints are going to come last. Should we put a bet on it? I think Peterson flops this year.
I do as well. I think Falcons.
Also, while we're being controversial.
But what about the fullback with the boots? I don't know.
What I want to say is I think that this is completely random and out of left field. I want to say I think that OBJ You know him. Yeah. I think he's overrated. I think people getting overexcited about him. And let me tell you why. He did that great catch, but I reckon there's a lot of other wide receivers that aren't considered as good as him. Charles, let me finish. There's a lot of NFL receivers that could pull that off. We've all seen them do it in training. It was the best catch I've ever seen, no doubt. I think because he's quite good looking, he's quite cool, he's at a coolish team that have a lot of support, I think he's slightly overrated. And, you know, if you're OBJ, then I'm sorry because you look nice.
So, yeah, I don't think that's true. His stats prove otherwise. He's one of the best scoring rookies in his first 2 years.
Always coming back with facts, Charles.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
The other thing about that, though, is what happens if you put a wide receiver from a shit team into a good team? Maybe he'd get loads of receptions.
Giants aren't even a great team, though.
Oh, whatever.
Maybe you might see Brandon Marshall vulture a number of those touchdowns.
You mark my words.
Odell Beckham always starts the season slowly, so after 4 weeks, you don't need to start going, I was right. Wait until the end of the season, because he really picks up.
Yeah. I think I'll wait till a few seasons' time. I think he'll be good, okay. But I don't think he's going to be amazing.
Do you want to have a bet that he's in the top five wide receivers?
We don't have
this
longevity in that podcast.
And the last question comes from Rob at Rob Wasteny. I think I've pronounced that correctly. Wasteny?
Big friend of the show.
Wastenenny, maybe. Wasteny, good friend of the show. What team's defense do you consider the best, not only for the season, but also for fantasy implications? Charles?
I think the top couple of defences are quite clear. I think the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs have got phenomenal defences. Also, the Arizona Cardinals should get a mention, although they've lost a couple of pieces in Jefferson and Calais Campbell.
Sherman and the Legion of Boom are not going to be happy with you.
Do you mean people?
Fair enough. You're right. With the Seahawks are a better... actual defense than a fantasy defense. That's kind of one of the things.
Because
in that.
They're good at blocking just, stuff, but they don't take away touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. They don't necessarily score many touchdowns, but they do a job in the game. They do what they need to do in the game, but they don't necessarily have the big plays.
They're your Cesc Fabregas, your Michael Carricks, the pass before the assist.
I think if everyone stays fit on defense this year, I think the Texans are actually going to be the number one.
JJ Watt,
and healthy,
and Clowney from the South Carolina Gamecocks.
His brother's a player now, isn't he? JJ Watt.
TJ Watt.
They play each other on Christmas, I think.
That's amazing.
Yeah, TJ Watt is the Steelers.
Yeah,
right.
But
is he a defender as well?
Yeah, he is. He's a linebacker. And also, staying in that division, a defence that is going to be sneaky good this year are the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were in yards allowed, they were in the top, they were the seventh best team last year, and they've added a lot of good players, and they could be very good in fantasy this year. So, sneaky little pick there.
Okay. It's very hot in London. In fact, it's about 34 degrees. I've drunk an insane amount of water. I am absolutely busting for a wee. There's only time for Charlie's Trivia. Let's make it quick.
That should have a jingle.
Yeah.
Charlie?
Okay, so we've got three topics as usual. First one is hashtag winning. Then you've got cheerleaders.
Ooh.
Or you could pit your teams against each other in a new segment I like to call Whose Team?
I don't understand it, but I love it.
Yeah. Whose Team?
Yeah. Right, so basically it's a question involving all of your teams and you have to rate them in order of the category I choose.
Okay.
Still,
is
still,
this subsequently confused?
Well, no, he'll pick a category, and we've got to rate Adley's Eagles, JP's Browns, my Jacksonville Jaguars, and Greeny's Chargers.
We'll figure it out.
Charles is right. Just put them in an order of what you think is best at, you know, what I'm about
so
to say.
So it's a team game. It's a team task.
You're not good at those.
Yeah. In 2016, whose team had the best average points per game?
Not the Browns.
Not the
Eagles. Well, not the Jags. Chargers.
Chargers threw away a lot of four. Yeah.
So we've got to rank them in order. I'm going to go Chargers, Jags, Eagles, Browns.
I'd be happy with that.
Eagles second.
But the Jags lost a lot of games, high scoring games.
You can all have your own separate answers.
No, I think we've done it as a team. We'll go as a team.
Chargers, Jags, Eagles, Browns.
If you'd listened to Dan, you'd have been right.
That's the worst. I'll take a point for that.
Yeah, Chargers win with 25.6 and the Browns come last with 16.5.
Oh dear.
Never trust the Jags.
All to play for next season, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Cool, I think that's kind of the end of the show. I just want to say thanks, everyone, for listening. We appreciate this is the quiet time in the NFL. It's kind of the most middle point-ish of, you know, when it was last season finished and this next one begins. So thanks for listening. We're going to try and keep the excitement all the way up until the season starts. Tweet us, rate, review, all that, blah, blah, blah.
Let the mock drafts begin.
We're going to keep it rolling.
I don't want to end on that. That's a weird kind of... let's just have some normal chat at a normal level so that we can just make that sound really weird.